Well, hello and welcome. My name is Ryan Carr. I am the associate pastor at St. Mark United Methodist Church, and I'm here with Drew Clayton.
Hey, everybody. My name's Drew, and I'm here with my nine-month-old. I've got twin boys and two girls, and my girls are about the same age as Ryan's daughter, Claire, and so at any point, they might come bouncing out here, but Rohan is in my arms right now, so you're probably hearing him a little bit, and we're sitting on my back porch, so you're going to hear some birds chirping, and you might hear an airplane or some cars go by, but we hope that that'll be nice ambiance and not too much of a distraction for you. I'm the lead pastor over at St. Mark United Methodist Church over here in Vestavia. We gather together each week, and we've got a kind of catchphrase at the church called Love Lives Here, and we want to embody that in everything that we do and teach and the ministry to the community around us. And we've had so many people walk into the church and just describe St. Mark as a place of warmth and of deep friendship among a lot of people. They fit in really quickly there. And so we're really proud of what God's doing at our church. And we find ourselves at a unique moment in time.
Very unique moment. Yeah, we're right in the middle of the COVID crisis. So we've been hanging out trying to figure out how to do church from home. If you want to catch our live stream, we stream every Sunday at 11 o'clock on Facebook Live. We have a pretty good production, so come check us out.
Yeah, we'd love for y'all to be a part of it. One of the things that we do there weekly, and then on Wednesdays we also do kind of we call it Lent Chat Live right now, where we do a little Bible study and conversation. We read scripture, and one of the things I'm really proud of is this project is uniting us across our connection and in reading scripture together. So we've got a little bit of scripture we want to read together this morning, and it's from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll read it for you and then offer a few thoughts. Here we go. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul writes, "Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Surely we do not need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you, do we? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter of Christ, prepared by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ towards God. Not that we are competent of ourselves to claim anything as coming from us. Our competence is from God, who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of letter, but of spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Now if the ministry of death, chiseled in hearts on stone tablets, came in glory so that the people of Israel could not gaze at Moses' face because of the glory of his face, a glory now set aside, how much more will the ministry of the Spirit come in glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, much more does the ministry of justification abound in glory. Indeed, what once had glory has lost its glory because of the greater glory. For if what was set aside came through glory, much more has the permanent come in glory. Since then we have such a hope, we act with great boldness, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of God from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant, that same veil is still there, since only in Christ is it set aside. Indeed, to this very day, when Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. This is a great passage. We've had a little bit of conversation about this. Ryan, what are some things that jump out to you as you start to hear this passage and it lays over our experience today?
Well, I think it's interesting how at the beginning he turns the script on the people of Corinth, basically saying like, why do you think you need a letter of recommendation from me? You guys are my letter. You guys are the evidence of all that's happening here. And it's amazing that he's not angry at them or mad at them, but he's turning it back around and edifying them and building them up. I find that to be very smart.
he's a pretty great pastoral leader here, because I think it might have been easy to write in and just kind of lambast these guys.
Yeah.
But he doesn't. He encourages them. Instead of saying, you don't need no stinking letter. No, he comes back and says, look, you guys are the letter. You're the very existence that you have is a testimony to what God is doing in and through me and my ministry. And it really validates him, but he does so in a pastoral way. I think that's really admirable for the way that he's leading his people there.
He's the rudder of the ship, kind of, in a way, just sort of slowly re-steering it, helping them reevaluate their values and their perceptions, and saying, hey, you know, you're not seeing this clearly here.
That's a really helpful image.
Yeah.
One of the things that I'm really taken with here, Ryan, is that there's this image of the presence of Christ that is written within the hearts of God's people. And one of the things that you and I talk about so much in our ministry together is this whole concept of spiritual formation. It's just one of the hallmarks of Wesleyan theology, right? That God's actively at work, not just giving us things to do that are meaningful, that we got to do, but things that we get to do. And that God comes in and changes our hearts. He renovates us from the inside out so that we don't have to feel like we're striving to do things, but it just starts to flow out naturally. And this presence of Christ with us and within us is something that I think is a helpful analog in a world that feels like, oh, I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do this. Man, it comes as grace, and we really get to be a part of what God's doing.
Right. The rituals and the prayers and all the practices that we do help us see that. Help us see that Christ is living in us, through us, around us, in the lives of other people. And when we don't spend time in those practices, it's easy to become numb to that, I think, or even blind to it. So the practices help to realign us to see that Spirit working.
Yeah, and so that's where it leads us down to the very end of this chapter, and that's the one that I think has grabbed us the most, is at the very end of chapter 3 here. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Doesn't that feel good?
Yeah. Oh man, yeah. Growing up in a sort of a Pentecostal setting, that was a favorite phrase, enchanted. I think there was so many songs with that. There's a song like that, now where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That's the main line throughout the whole song. I grew up with that verse buried deep in my heart. So.
Me too. I think putting it in the context of this whole letter of 2 Corinthians is really helpful, though, because I think it might be easy to think about where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, and that can get equated with a freedom to do whatever we want to, and that we don't feel bound to any kind of tradition or authority or whatever. But if we believe that Jesus is the ultimate demonstration of what it looks like to live as one who is free, his will is always laid down for the sake of other people. It's always to do the will of the Father. And that kind of freedom is what we're talking about here, right? It's not freedom to fall victim to whatever, you know, whim or desire I have, but for my desires to be transformed into the desires of the crucified one.
Right. Yeah. It's the freedom to see that God loves you, and the freedom to see that God loves you in spite of all of your flaws and your sin and your broken